All right, so we're up with, first with, we're missing Lisa, who sends her apology. She is in Chicago for work. Mallory, you are up first with recreation.
Yeah, Derek, can you update us on the video scoreboard?
Sure. Well, Capital City Baseball has presented us with a really exciting opportunity to make a huge improvement to the stadium, and I won't steal the excitement away from Jamie Toole, who's here tonight. I'll turn the floor over to Jamie if you want to share with us what you're looking at doing. Wherever you're comfortable with, you can come up to the podium if you like.
We didn't still vote in West Palm. I might be applying for one of these positions. So thank you guys so much. As Derek alluded to, we wrapped up our first season, 2022. I think it was a successful season. You know, by our standards, it's not quite where we want it to be. A good coach by the name of Lou Holtz used to say, we're not where we're going to be, but thank God we're not where we started. I'll reiterate that. And that's no indictment or slight towards previous ownership groups. We certainly respect them keeping baseball here. But this is the capital city, and we deserve to have a first-rate, high-standard facility and ballpark. So when our ownership was there, you came and met with our ownership group, come to Tally. You have people from all over the country as a part of this thing. So we have a vested interest in Springfield and Houston, Texas, and Kentucky and Virginia. So when they visited, they said, hey, we really want to do something impactful. We want to let people know that we're here to stay. Melissa and I were the last night of the season. As fans were leaving, they would say, are you guys going to come back? So you can tell there's a real apprehension about the history, right?
Right.
It's changed names and different ownership groups. So in telling our guys that, they said, well, what are the options? So my first request was field turf. That would have been great. I'm like, yeah, go ahead and fund that. That would be perfect. The video board was what they decided on because they thought it would be an impactful thing for our fans. Kids come to the ballpark, see their face on the screen, instant replay, fan cam. Not to mention just the supplemental events, right? The idea of movies in the park. Last year we hosted the park district with the big inflatable, and moving forward we'll have that, you know, hopefully to recruit more events to the ballpark. So we also are happy to stay local with that purchase through a sign company and an Illinois-based company called Watchfire, based out of Danville, Illinois. So I'm happy to answer any specifics. I'm not a real tech guy. I can just tell you, I'm going through a training, and hopefully what we see on the screen goes up on that board. We've worked with Derek and the legal counsel to go over the addendum that I think we're in a good shape with. So I'll answer any questions.
Yeah, I'll add to that, too, that it's been a great relationship, and from our perspective, it's been a huge success, right? So we'll toot your own horn for you. But we are really excited about this. It will be a tremendous, tremendous improvement to the facility and the user experience at the facility and the other programmatic opportunities that it would provide to us. We have before the board a draft addendum that staff 100% supports. It's presented to you tonight for review. We certainly are not asking for any action tonight, but we're going to get it in front of the board, and we'd recommend that the board consider action on this item next week. The timing is important to you, Jamie. I think you want to move quickly on the install.
Yeah, well, fortunately, we're in good shape relative to supply chain. There were some issues with chips and, you know, again, above my pay grade, but I just communicated with Ace today. I know we stayed in touch with Marty and Sean on some of the logistics, but ideally, we could get a green light so we could start the process in April.
Great.
That's great. And season begins?
So the first shoes game is May 31st. But I'm really proud of the person with the district. We're hosting a ball yard sale to benefit Habitat for Humanity, an enormous yard sale on May 6th. That'll be a new tradition. And then I'm really, really excited about the Legends game part two. For anybody that visited, that was our most successful event last year, former Cubs versus former Cardinals. That's coming back May 27th this year.
Well, I have loved the additional programming and the utilization of the field, so I appreciate that so much. And this is just, I agree with you. I think this is going to bring more people because it's going to feel like a more professional stadium.
Right.
With this kind of scoreboard. People come to expect, if you go to you know, if you go to Busch Stadium, that, you know, that they're going to have, you know, all kinds of fun games on the screen and, you know, trivia and whatever, and so it entertains people in between.
Right.
So I think that's wonderful.
Most parents tell their kids to put down the screen, so we're just going to put a big one out there.
Right, I love that. Hey, but they're outdoors. They're outdoors, so that's a good thing. Well, thank you, and thank you again for partnering with us, and this is very exciting, and we want to be a good partner as well, so let, you know, keep in touch and let us know what we can do to make sure we want you to be successful.
Yeah, I think the key for us is messaging that, you know, we're here, we believe in Springfield.
Yes.
So, and you can just feel, we sell merchandise in all 50 states, you can feel the energy building. We have pretty grandiose visions to be the best summer with that team in the country. So, yes, last year was sort of the start, and we're excited about the second chapter.
Great. Well, we're going to write a whole book, so
thank you very much.
Jamie, I was just going to say that right now I'm probably not going to be here next Wednesday, family obligation. I'm definitely in support of this. If there was a point where I needed to be here to make sure it passed, I would. I'm fairly confident that we're good to go.
Disclosure, we're going to be traveling to Indianapolis to go to Florida for a week, so we won't be here either. So I'm hoping that everybody feels the same way as you.
But yeah. What I would like to tell you is that, you know, just from conversations with people up and around, some of the things that I think could be, just to put a bug in your ear, some things that people have said, I don't know if you have any plans on maybe making a card set for the kids this year. That's something that seems to be brought up. Tie in with maybe the there's like a free baseball card day that they used to do free packs of cards through Tops. I don't know if that's something they can tie in with you.
Yeah.
And I think it would be really cool, a lot of the kids around here who have no idea about anything that happened prior to last week, to get Tim Hewlett, Dick Schofield, Jason Wirth, some of the other local players, and have them come in and maybe have them be the celebrity base coach for the day or something. We missed our opportunity with the Dick Schofield senior, Ducky's gone, and he was an amazing man. And some of these other guys had a lot of history to the ballpark and everything, and other things too. I think that, Mike Pittens, who lives locally, was a Springfield Cardinal. You know, we've
got good popcorn, too.
Absolutely. But, you know, a lot of these things are just things that I would love to see you tie in with the history that we have. We have a rich baseball history here, and I'd love for the Horseshoes to be here solid for the next 20-plus years.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. And we certainly embrace the history. One of the things we're doing this year is the 25th anniversary of the Capitals.
Yep.
You know, I think when you have a baseball team, you sort of inherit the history, good, the bad, the ugly, right? So we want to bring all of that back from the grounds. We brought back the Sally, the women's team that was in Springfield, a really good success for the Battle of Texas. We always love hearing feedback. With baseball cards, I'm not a baseball card guy myself, but there's an issue with college players, name and likeness.
Yeah.
Oh.
But we do have a ton of top baseball cards in the ballpark. They over-ordered and spent a ton, so... and definitely embracing the community as a whole, the Maytown family, the Nadler family, the Schofield, the talent and the baseball history in this community, it's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
And so to harness that and celebrate that through, you know, honoring the past players, we plan on doing some more of that this year at the ballpark. And last year was a little bit like drinking water through a fire hose, as I always say, but we're excited about the future.
And I think that, there are people, you know, actually, I guess if I understand, there was a line last night to get pictures with your mascot at Raising Cane's.
Unless you know, on a side note, this guy was the mascot.
Oh, you're never supposed to tell that.
This is confidential, right?
Yeah.
The chief person, you don't have to worry about getting out. That was yesterday morning.
Yep.
I had a meeting canceled, so I volunteered to hop in the suit. I'm very thankful because it was warm. And I love those folks that are Raising Cane's, but at 9:30, I'm not interested in chicken. But we're going to try it out one of these days.
But yeah, there were a lot of people who posted pictures of the mascot on my feed yesterday. So.
Yeah. I think the most shares we've ever had from a post was that one, 800 shares. And yeah, we really believe in having, you know, social media is a dialogue, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a constant conversation. We don't operate from May 31st to August. We're here. We're part of the community. We show up. It's some days tougher than others, but we show up and
Some days you have to put on the mascot suit.
You do what you need to do.
Yep.
I can do it. Any more specifics that I don't want to...
No, no. And we really must very much appreciate the partnership. And please keep in touch with us, because we're all in with the horseshoes being successful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate your guys' time and off to dinner.
All right. Are you going to Raising Cane's?
Thank you. Good to see you.
Mary Beth, you're up. You're up. Building some concessions.
Sorry, you can turn it over to us.
I'll turn it over to Sarah.
Thank you. So I actually will turn it over to Jason. We've got some tennis court repairs we want to discuss.
What I call passing the buck.
Yeah.
We'd like to do some additional repair work at the Velasco Tennis Center on the courts 7, 8, and 9. We have some cracks there we'd like to fill in and resurface. It's around $29,000. As you know, the Velasco Tennis Center budget, they can't support that big of a repair. So we have some additional funds in the 2018 bond on some projects that we've already completed. Those projects are remodeling the Franklin Room at the Delta Center. We're done with that project. We'd like to reappropriate that money to help fund the Velasco Tennis Center repairs. Removing baseball fields at Kennedy and Stewart. We removed the field at Stewart. We left the field at Kennedy because people were continuing to use Kennedy. We didn't use all that amount of money, so we'd like to use that money to help fund the Velasco. And in the rec department, back in 2018, they were going to remove the softball fields at Douglas, now Duncan. We removed those, and they're going to add Ultimate Frisbee. I don't think there was a big enough need for that. So we had some money for all three of those things left over or budgeted during the bond. We're not using that fund anymore, so we'd like to reappropriate that money to fund our tennis center court repairs on 7, 8, 9.
And I will just add to this, I have heard a lot from the tennis community on this. Have you too?
No.
The cracks are not just little cracks in the, I mean, they are, people are worried about people getting hurt. So they're significant. So this, I would say this is a if we're going to utilize these courts and allow people to play on them, we have to.
I will add to that also. I will add to your ad.
Okay.
See your ad and raise you there.
All right. Ad square.
So, to be very clear, a couple years ago, the board appropriated funds to resurface courts number 1, 2, and 3. And that was the premier court. It was about $100,000.
$200,000.
The project that we're proposing tonight is not the premier court. This is simply a band-aid to fill in the cracks to make them continue to be playable. The real resolve is probably another premier court, which is probably $300,000 at this point in time, or a complete resurfacing. And again, there's 12 courts out there. 3 of them are the premier courts. The proposal tonight is just to patch temporarily.
Yeah, and one other thing, one of the things that I've heard is we have a lot of regional tournaments out of Washington Park, and there's some concern about continuing those without repairing those courts. So needs to happen,
yeah.
And appreciate you
yeah.
scrounging around
yeah.
and finding some pennies in the cushions to do that.
One thing I'd like to add is I appreciate you guys and staff because we have done a tremendous amount of upgrades out there.
Yes, you have.
We've done the premier court. We've remodeled the whole pro shop. We did outside work, new bathrooms, drainage work. We've done a lot over there that sometimes we don't bring you guys that you don't know about. But if you go out there, you can really see it. New benches, there's a lot out there. So it's just one more thing to help that facility.
Yeah, the staff has been terrific. I mean, we've got some complaints about the branches, covering up the lights, which, you know, impeded play in the evenings, and staff went out and took care of it. I mean, you guys have been great.
Gone through
it. Yes, it has, yeah. and appreciated, and this is just one more piece of the puzzle we need to take care of to get it up and to full force.
And there are more people playing on those courts
than
there have been a long, long time as well.
I wonder, honestly, there are a ton of tennis people here, but I wonder if pickleball has actually helped pick up tennis.
Yeah.
because people get back into playing and, you know, then maybe they pick tennis back up, and because we are seeing, and some of it's sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. That would be the conversion to the pickleball courts in those other areas, driving a lot more tennis players to this one central location.
Well, that's a good point. Very good point.
Yeah.
Just while we're on tennis, are there any updates or thoughts or considerations on whatever? I know we had talked about, you know, like, those courts are,
I think they need to play tennis as well.
I mean, why are they electric in the next 2 months, you know, months?
Yeah. Don't say that.
But, I do see a lot of people on them, and they are...
I would expect that this ward.
Oh, would, doing remodeling.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about.
No. I like the Centennial Park idea for pickleball.
I do too.
But.
Well, okay, so a lot of thoughts in my mind here. So one, I would expect that the pickleball club. I just heard today that they're probably going to come to the board and.
They've been raising
next
money.
Month. And talk about various things that improvements that they would like to see, and where they think those should be, and how their ideas on how we may accomplish some things like that. So I think that's probably forthcoming, and I think it's probably going to involve Centennial Park, not really.
So I have a friend who's very involved in the pickleball community, and she kind of keeps me linked in to what the conversations are. And she told me they're very focused on Centennial. You know, we talked about it a little bit, about, you know, what could be done out there and to make
wind
it, windbreaks, and maybe a berm, you know, or...
Yeah, I think pickleball continues to grow, so as a club, they're getting pressure to expand, and so this board should expect pressure to be applied to them to expand, right? Because that's important to them. So to your question directly with regards to improvements to Rotary, I would say that would be a capital expenditure that we would need to look at the bond issue for. You know, our even years are typically our bond cycle boards, so 2020, 24, a year from now, would be a bond issue. I would also preface the board as a reminder, because this board has also, you know, made this caution too. There is a tremendous amount of demand, not just need, but demand for a very limited amount of funds. You know, we have some very large ticket items that this board and staff, this agency needs to look at. So that will be one of the many proposals that you'll see in that bond issue. Ultimately, if it makes the ultimate priority, you know, that's up to ultimately the board.
But I will also note, it occurred to me also that we're getting close to the date where we should be talking to the sanitary district about bringing sewer into Centennial. We have water now,
yeah.
But you know, that the previous agreement, 20-year agreement, kind of tied our hands. But that agreement is up, I believe, next year.
It could be next year.
I think it's next year. I've been kind of keeping track.
So it's a good point. We were just talking about that internally the other day. When we annexed Centennial Park into the city of Springfield, we negotiated a developer's agreement with the city that requires them to run water, power, and sewer to the site.
Right.
They have run water to the site.
To the dog park,
and we have access to power. Sewer is on the east side of the road of Linhart, Bunker Hill, which is north south of Linhart, and they're prepared to take it under the street, and that will be their responsibility. From that point, when we pick it up, it's our responsibility.
That's why I'm bringing it up with relation to the bond issue.
Yeah,
if the sewer, there's something tied to Hope Church.
Yes.
That agreement will expire
in 24.
Yeah, I think in 24 or 25. If we do it before then we have to pay back for the infrastructure. So we want to sunset that before we exercise that clause. But my point is, you can't activate that sewer system and let it sit dormant underneath the road unless you're going to actively be running sewer through it. And to run sewer from the point that it gets to our property to, like, let's say the ball fields, which is a big need, just to get sewer there, I think, was like $250,000 or $300,000. That's not building any buildings. That's not getting water. That's not getting power. That's just to get the sewer to it. So that's a very large commitment that we need to have that discussion.
Please just keep it in the back of your head.
Yeah.
Okay, because especially if we're going to improve Centennial with pickleball, and we're going to suddenly have, in addition to everybody else that's already using Centennial, add that on top of it. Yeah. That's out there. TJ, you're up.
Surplus property ordinance. Yeah, we have the surplus ordinance, which is in your packet. It's kind of dovetails into Jamie's conversation earlier. This is tied to some of the improvements that we were making for Robin Roberts to get a new car, the other car getting about 15 years old, 15 years old, and it's a little old.
Religious?
It is leaking. However, we talked to D-186. They would like us to give them the tarp to use at Eisenhower, which they take care of that field. So they share some of the cost of taking care of that field with us, our facility. And then we also talked to SSBA, who's our other partner in baseball. SSBA doesn't want it. And so we've chosen to transfer it to D-186, and per discussion with council, he said surplus it, and in your surplus ordinance affect the transfer. And so that's what we're doing. So at the point in time, if the board votes on this and approves it on Wednesday, I've already got D-186 chewed up. They're supposed to come up if they want to get the car and leave.
Waste no time.
Yeah, and and that's the only thing on the surplus ordinance, because I just didn't have enough time to scour the district for other items. I'm sure we have some other items.
You have something else to do right now?
I'm sure we have other items. Well, it wasn't me as staff, because I'm like, hey, I need to know if we have some other items. So we'll probably have a surplus ordinance. We usually have one in early summer, late spring. But we will have another one, but we'll have a lot more on it. And that's very simple. Okay, so that
is on the inventory. Once you get the inventory that you kudos on that. Is that in your inventory?
Oh, yeah, that's something I was going to talk about. That's next month.
I like to steal your thunder.
We have just today completed the fixed asset inventory.
Woo-hoo!
For the district, which will have to write a summary and plan for the future, but that will resolve one of the findings, and we've also done some other work on some of the other findings, which we've mostly resolved. I think there's probably one open item, which I'm working with CDS on, but we'll see how that goes. It's a little early, but we're right there.
You're getting there.
And then the next item I have is the budget. So I'm going to go through this slideshow, and I would appreciate it if everybody could hold your questions until the end.
Mm-hmm.
Make a note if I hit some topic that's a hot topic for you, and then we can have an open discussion at the end because there's quite a few slides here.
And this will come.
Get through them.
This will come back, so whatever the board knows, this will come back to committee again next month.
Next
I think that's very important. So we'll go through the slideshow. You will get a full copy of everything, and then I'm really big on everybody having plenty of time to review it, ask questions, suggest changes. All right.
Well, there will be, there is the tentative budget as it current iteration is also in your package. To proceed. So we have a three-pronged discussion where we want to talk a little bit about personal property tax, because it's kind of a hot topic right now, which you may or may not be aware of. And then it dovetails into the budget, and then both of those fit into the fundamental discussion at the end. So our personal property tax, replacement tax, which is just they call it a replacement tax because it replaced the personal property tax back in 1979. The state of Illinois enacted a new constitution then, and it basically made the personal property tax unconstitutional.
So they established a new tax to try to replace those lost funds. So recently we've seen an increase, which is unprecedented in the history of this, the 20-year average being $600,000, and the last two fiscal years being $1.7 million and $1.8 million. And as a matter of fact, we just got today the March payment, and so we're right at $2 million for this fiscal. So the last few years have been an extreme aberration compared to the history. Our research has indicated that this, we expect this to fall back to normal levels again. And then some of the municipal advocates statewide and organizations that support municipalities statewide, if you like Google this, you'll find this is a hot topic amongst a lot of municipalities because everybody's having the same thing.
Right.
So like, well, what are we supposed to do with this? What's wrong? Are they going to come back and ask for this back? And I've had that. I've actually had that happen before. So don't laugh. I've had the state come back to me, was that 3 years ago? And they said, oh, we made a mistake. You need to get some of that back.
We overpaid.
Yeah, we overpaid. So that can't happen. I don't think that's what's going to happen with these, but the caution is to reserve these amounts, not counting on dollars for budget and operating expenditures, because typically operating expenditures are something that are going to annuitize. In other words, you budget for this year operating, and then next year you have the same thing there. And I don't think that's the case. I think this is going to go away. And so if we start to use it for operating expenses on a yearly basis, and then next year it's not there, then we're finding ourselves in a position of backtracking.
But we can put it away as a rainy day fund.
Sure. That's a great idea. So the additional
because it always rains.
So the additional 2 year surplus created by this PBRT, increased PBRT, currently is around $2.3 million, which has and will end up in the fund balance in the equity. And in fact, the overage from last year is already reflected in fund balance because that's where it ended up, which is for a core business entity, retained earnings, if you will, that's where it goes. The net of your revenue and expenditures end up there. So the budget here, this is important. The budget that you have is presented to the board in this committee. The clock starts ticking now. We have a mandatory 30-day waiting period. So we make the budget available for public inspection, which it is now. And so once the 30 days expire, the board can act on it. So it will be, that 30 days will have eclipsed next committee. And so any time after that, the board can act on it. And it doesn't have to stay the same. It can change any time up from now up until the vote. It could change. There's nothing that says the board can't make a change. So I will say that we have worked diligently on this for months. And this is probably the single biggest project that we do every year, I would say, in finance anyway. Probably in the organization, because it involves everybody. We include CPI-based increases as also a hot topic. Everybody knows that the CPI inflation has been 7+, which is outrageous. If you remember back in the 70s when we had double-digit inflation, which everybody's raving about inflation now. This is nothing. Remember gas lines? Shortages? but it's still, compared to what we recently had, which was less than 1% inflation, this is very, very high. So we calculated an increase in those expenses based on that knowledge, and I think it's probably you're going to see 6-7% inflation again this year. And the budget is designed to support our mission, and if you look at the objectives, which we've had these objectives, we established these 7 years back, but I think they're pretty much evergreen. I mean, it's the things you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So please review and respond with any questions or proposals on the budget. If you see something there that you have a question on, I'd be happy to answer it or research it and get back to you promptly. We will. We will host a public hearing next month. Prior to the board meeting, we'll have a public hearing, which is also required by law, and then adjourn that public meeting, then enter the board meeting, and this is April I'm talking about. And then at that point in time, the board would be able to take action after the hearing.
But we don't have to.
You don't have to.
So
we have until this will be the 9th. What is it?
Yep. So just so the board is aware, and I'm not saying this will be the case in this year, but there have been years for various assorted reasons where the board has had concerns or we've gone back and forth about some things that the board has, you know, had concerns about, and staff needed to go back and so we have till the end of April, but truly, I hate to say this, there was one or two years where it went well into May, just because we needed the time. I'm for doing it on time, but I'm also more personally for getting it where the board is comfortable with staff.
It's well,
we're
not comfortable. Right. The only thing you have to consider, though, is that you have potentially two or three brand new, never looked at the budget, never did anything before, never served in politics before, board members that will be coming in May.
I understand. And we had that situation at that time, we just worked around that. So when we did it in May, we waited to seat them until after we voted, so they wouldn't have to vote on a budget that they didn't have any input.
Which is the advantage to getting it done. There's several advantages getting done in April. Number one is staff has the marching orders.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, we know what we're after. Mm-hmm. Number two, you don't have to have a new board member walking in going, well, I got to vote on a budget. I don't know what to
No, we wouldn't about. Do that anyway.
Yeah. And so that's where your major advantage
I'm just saying, if we need more time.
Yeah, if we need more time, we can take it. Absolutely. I already mentioned this stuff. We'll go into fund balance. So, in 2016, we established a fund balance policy. The board did this because we had struggled with maintaining adequate fund balances. And our improved fund balance position is absolutely one of the main factors driving Moody's rating. We have the best rating in this county, including the state of Illinois, period. It's not even close. So, and when I started, I believe, were we B when I started? I think we were the highest B.
No.
I don't think we ever did.
We never made it.
We were the lowest A.
Right.
And then, so we jumped several times, and I have to tell you that when I sit on the call with Moody, that's one of the things that they specifically ask about. It's a fund balance, and they do look at them.
What is the threshold, Stephen? What is in the policy? Is it?
I'll talk about that in just a second.
Okay.
So the fund balance policy sets targets for each fund based on a percentage of annual expenditures, typically a half, 50% of annuals, typically for operating funds. For non-operating, some of the like the bond funds, there's no, it can be zero because. You know, it's money put there to spend, and then it's spent, it's gone. Same thing with debt service, right? It's put there, it's spent, it's gone. It's a very narrowly purposed fund. Operating funds a little bit different. And then here's the analysis. I hope everybody can see this. So this was December 31st, and they took the fund balances, and then, you know, so we have $20 million, and you say, oh, we got a lot of fund balances, we got a lot of money here. But a lot of that's wrapped up in assets. These non-spendable, non-liquid assets, those are the accruals and prepaid assets. So let's just come out and look at this. That's just an accounting number. Basically, it's accounting. We're accounting for accruals. And then you have restricted by statute. So these funds are restricted for the sole purpose named in the fund. So when you look at the police fund, that the dollar amount, and that fund balance is restricted for police expenditures by statute. And the same way with each of the other ones. And then you end up with restricted by donation grants. So this is where we have received some funds by grant or donation from a very generous contributor, or we won the grant, which is really nice. And then we have a committed, which is $1 million. Which some of that number's probably come down a little bit, but that was $1 million. In the general fund. That was $1 million that we so generously received from Smith. And so that's kind of tied up in Comer Cop Park mostly.
targets, which is 50% of the annual expenditures. And then there's the actual balance after you take into account all these things. And then you have a net, which is assigned or, quote, available, if you will, which is a little under $1 million. And then we have some transfers, which is there's a few of you that were here when we did transfers last time. So when we have negative positions in fund balance, which we will have, we typically transfer money from the general fund to the recreation fund. In this case, it's the museum fund. We know that they have a positive balance now, but we know after you take into consideration the money that we have to have in reserve for our obligations, that we would be negative. And so we typically transfer from these other funds to bring it up, to bring that balance up, to make it positive, hopefully. And so in the end, that's a net wash, right? That's a net sum zero, but you get down here to the 915. So the one caveat with the 916 is that you say, oh, well, we have $900,000 that we can uncommitted to spend. However, I would only say that's already come down, because if you look at, when you look at, grab it right here, this is always in your board packet every month. And it's this little, I just had it. It's Andy Grant's right here. It shows this is the fund balance, so it's tracking. And so what you see is it's historical. So you see the curve moving up for overall fund balances are increasing. But if you look at how it's going, at the end of the fiscal year here, it always tails off, because we get our tax money beginning in May, and then the last thing we get in November, and then after that, our revenues drop off considerably, and then we're just using money.
But so if it's unassigned, that's outside of budget.
No, that's not what that means. Unassigned means it's available.
That's just a snapshot as of December.
And that is a snapshot as of that time. And so my point is that this $1 million is going to get used by operations between now and we get our first tax. A good portion of y'all. By the time we get to the first tax disbursement, which is in May something. So, and that's what I'm trying to show with this, because you can see how it humps up here, and you see November's kind of, well, not really November, October's kind of our high point, and then it just starts to slope off because our funding is.
But why do you call it unassigned?
Because it's for operations or whatever. Yeah, in other words, it's not obligated by some document, some agreement, some grant,
okay,
some other the policy.
Yeah,
it's not committed. But that's not to say we don't need it.
I understand.
We wanted to have the discussion about PTRT. It's come up a couple times in board meetings. We wanted to kind of lay it out to the board for openness to everybody. And the best way to do that is take a snapshot of as of our last fiscal reporting, which was at the time of preparing this,
December
31st. But as Stephen's articulating, about 75% of our overall revenue comes from the tax levy. So during the tax season, when we're collecting those money,
the
revenue is...
And it runs out at the end of that. So, but I have a question. So... You're not following the rules.
No,
you're not.
It is our recommendation to act cautiously with financial prudence with regard to PPRT, utilizing any excess funds to meet the fund balance policy. Then after that is established, to consider selective improvements which fit our most pressing needs. So when we have excess funds, then we could start doing some of these. And some examples I put up there are the chiller, the Wilson Nelson Center, or Eisenhower Pool Updates, which we know those two facilities are entirely in work. And then the tentative budget is presented, it's balanced, and monitors the PPRT. So, you know what, I look at, I'll tell you, you asked me this question earlier, but I looked at putting the excess PPRT in the working cash fund, and I consulted with the auditors, and we found that was not really a good option, because what that does is kind of...
How much excess PPRT are you getting this year?
What do we have this year? $2 million now. What is the total? What did we budget? 800?
Yeah, something like that.
So
But I just want the board to be
the buzz.
Okay, I'll let him.
Right. Should have buzzed. So we buzzed like 800.
But where did we get that number
from? That's usually a moving average the last 3 years.
Okay.
Is how we have typically budgeted for it. But we're finding out this information because, I mean, this is like off the charts.
Yeah.
As I told you earlier, it was $600,000 before. Now we're in last year we were at $1.7 million. Now we're over $2 million. It's like, whoa, what's going on?
How did we budget it last year?
Same way. We budgeted like $700,000.
And they put it,
yeah.
And they know I had a problem. They just stuck it. And that's okay. They did the right thing. They put it in the fund balance.
Yeah, it just fell there.
Okay.
But I want the board to be aware that, you know, and that is a good place to put it. It's essentially, I want the board to understand that it's essentially a rainy day fund. So it, obviously we want to maintain the policy that we set forward, and we are going to get there and then have what Stephen is saying is have additional funds.
I'd love to see an excess here.
So that's fine, and we can put it aside as a true rainy day fund. But if we fall below that amount because something happens in the district, so be it. I mean, you know, I would much rather, I want to keep a certain cushion, obviously, but it's there. It is there. It's real. It's there. It's you know. So just so the board sort of.
Can I understand you, Stephen, that Moody likes the positive fund balance?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So
we should pay close attention.
Yeah. I'm not saying we should deviate from it.
We don't have to
but I want the board to be aware of what's happening to this money.
The purpose of maintaining that.
Yeah,
and
my last point.
Okay. Something goes into the
net operations and net results of households and influence, they all drop into the fund balance. The positive fund balance is an overall indicator of the relative financial health of an organization, and the nurturing of the fund balance has helped to get the district where we are. Now, we're really close. I don't think we're there yet, but we're really close. We are on the cusp of it. But I would say that rainy day fund, we're right, we're there. If I could get 4 more years of CPRT, I'd be retired.
No, we told you you're not allowed to.
4 more years of CPRT at this level would be huge. But I don't know. I can't say that's going to happen. I wouldn't say that because I just won't count on it. We've contacted revenue and they won't. They don't tell you anything.
But for that highly irregular, we'll call it PPRT values being in the millions instead of the hundreds of thousands, what is funding our fund balance otherwise? Because it didn't look that high.
Just us. We budget for
just
it.
Just the levy.
Yeah. And it's been a, Stephen will tell you, it's been a slog to get there. So I'm happy that we're just about there. I mean, it's been literally a decade-long effort. Mm-hmm. To get, and I give our fiscal team and our whole staff, I mean, huge credit to get us to a point that we can breathe financially. For a while, we couldn't. Sort of an extended while, we couldn't. My thought is, and I like what Stephen has to say, so we had some big things because we are a 100-plus-year-old district. We have some facilities that you know, that are out there that we know are out there that it's likely are going to need some significant capital outlays. In fact, the last several bond issues, we put money aside for the Nelson Center choke. And I think that's the responsible thing to do. I choke on it a little bit, but it's responsible thing to do.
You mentioned the bond issues. So if you recall, when we did the bond last year, the initial list of projects was in excess of $30 million requests
right.
for needs throughout the district, and they had a $2.5 million bond. So that's the kind of whittling that you have to do.
So once we hit, I think it's a really good idea. I think once we hit the bond, the policy, the fund balance policy, to start squirreling away money for the chiller and the roof and the pool updates, it's a really good idea.
Yeah. And we'll continue to monitor this, so like at year end, I'm going to update this,
as we get our final year-end audit and update the accounts to find out where we're at. And you know, I can say, if we continue to have $2 million of PPRT every year, we're going to see some significant increases. But
Earl,
kind of answer your question more specifically, I will tell you that the way we got there was through some pretty tight, frugal fiscal management. That's how we got there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can tell you also that in 2015 we had some negative fund balances, not just one fund, but probably half a dozen more negative, and I mean hundreds of thousands of dollars negative. And so we did some things on cost control, the workers' comp, remember that?
Huge.
Nightmare.
Huge.
So our workers' comp expenditures were over $1 million a year.
Yep.
And now we're at $300,000 a year. I mean, that's a net gain of $700,000 that we were able to put back into fund balance. Our unemployment has dropped. I mean, there's lots of...
We got rid of the early retirement.
Yeah, DRI went away.
Yeah.
IRF balance.
Right.
So there's lots of little things that we've done that have cumulatively
timed out.
We had that effect. And yeah, I think it shows.
Yep.
It shows. So that's all I have, and
I've already asked all my questions.
If you have any questions, has any specific questions now or later, send me the email.
Can we get a hard copy sent out to all the trustees, maybe by courier or
budget.
Mail or
yeah
the budget?
Sure.
Yeah.
You want to go print that?
Did we give you that copy
right now? No, but I mean, I was going to print it up and have it for them when they come in next week.
Okay.
That's fine.
That's okay.
That's fine.
If not, you want me to print them up tonight and then give them
No. We can.
Sure. Yeah.
Maybe we can.
So there's seven of them.
We can I'd like everybody to have
lots
of time to go through it if they want.
And any questions, please, like as soon as you make notes or whatever, have questions, let us know so we can have time to gather. We should be able to answer pretty quickly because we pored over these numbers for months. I could ask Doug about his nightmares. he'll probably, I'll say, what about that $20,000 in this budget? He'll go, oh, that's it.
And we will regroup again at the next committee meeting. And again, if you have questions before then, please feel free. And if it's something substantive, you know, we can address it at committee, but like a policy or a...
Yeah, the only thing I ask is that if someone has a proposed adjustment to a budgetary line item, that it typically, we're balanced, right? It's a trade-off. So if you say, well, I'd really like us to spend more money here, that means I got to reduce it somewhere else.
Right.
So if someone comes to me and says, I want you to spend more money in here, okay, so with your recommendation, where do you recommend that I take it from?
Yeah.
Because that's, you can't have one without the other.
You know what I would really
want is a list of the highest priority down of the things, the needs that need to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
So Nelson Center's on a high priority list, right? And then Eisenhower Pools on the next. I mean, if we could have a list, so if we try to go to solicit money from the community.
That's a great idea.
Oh, so we can give you the bond list, but I think for like large donations like that, I think that's that presentation that we kind of put together, right? We have like five or six kind of items on there.
In the brochure thing,
You need something more than that.
Is there stuff even beyond the high end?
Some smaller ticket items?
Yeah.
We can put that together.
Yeah, I'd like to have that too, because I get people who...
want to get $5,000.
Right. I mean, and...
Yeah,
and
well,
we have a lot of places for that.
Yeah, I think there are literally hundreds and hundreds of places for it. Typically, how we've approached donors is if they have something that's important to them, a park, a facility.
Yeah,
something.
But sometimes it's helpful to know for $25,000 at the zoo, you can get this done, right? And because there's... Right?
We just grab the bond list. Yeah.
Yeah,
right? Okay.
Yeah, we have that.
Just send it to the board.
And we prioritize that, as I recall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not past the first tier, but we can work internally on that.
Yeah.
And I just want to take a minute to thank staff again, because I know how much work this is. This is a huge effort. And lots of, shall we say, long and sometimes challenging conversations go into this. So my thanks in advance, and hopefully we'll try not to mess you up too much, Stephen, but, you know, I'm not making any promises. Sure, that's how I describe it. All right. With that, why don't we kind of quickly go through staff updates. Angie, you're up first.
Yes, ma'am. Please, I just want to remind the board and share with the board is that the zoo is opening for the season on April 1st. Golf courses.
Can you buy the passes online?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I digress.
That's okay. Golf courses are open. And when we have a beautiful day like we did a few days ago, they are quite busy. And then there is a junior NBA skills challenge that is for free.
Great.
We are partnering with the Salvation Army. It's going to take place also on April 1st. And folks can register.
Is that on social media?
Yes, it is.
Great.
Contact us on Facebook. There's a barcode. I understand that you need to register.
Can we get that out to the aldermen? Because they might want to send that out.
Of course we can.
You
sure.
Know? Good. Okay.
Yeah, if you can send it to Tim Griffin.
Yeah. He'll get
coordinator.
Yeah.
If you need
especially a free event like that, that's
217-789-2151.
That's a very good idea.
Then you don't have to send it to all the individual ones, and you don't worry about whether or not you're going to have a Meetings Act violation. Just send it to the council coordinator's office and let them disseminate.
You can do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Angie. Long range planning?
Oh, for Angie. I saw you guys did the Park of the Month again with Centennial.
Yeah.
Very informative. I like the way it looks.
Maybe a little fish.
Sure.
On each part. We will make those adjustments, and I'll pass the kudos on the staff.
Thank
you. Long-range planning, Jason?
Just a couple high-level updates. Spring is hopefully right around the corner. We'll start picking up on some of our big construction projects that we have out there, including the Lehmer Langer. Had a little bit of movement from the contractor. It's kind of hit and miss. You get freezing nights, you're not really able to pour some concrete, so we're working on some things. Got to be patient with some of that. I have to be patient with some
right.
Of that.
How are you with that? Because I'm not very good with that. I try to.
Same thing with our painting project. We got some plans to be there next Monday to try to finish that up. Again, thanks to the Zoological Society. They gave some money that helps out that project. They gave us $50,000.
Which project?
The perimeter fencing on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
All new fencing there, so looks really nice. We'll work on that. We're doing a bunch of stuff for the Kiwanis Outpod, from sanitary contract installations, working with CWLP on some light poles, trying to get LED upgrades, work on some paving improvements next week. So we got a lot of things behind the scenes that we're trying to get all that rock and roll until the clock is ticking on the Kiwanis Outpod. So we're working on that. Hopefully we might have a contract or two that we're going to bring to the board here in maybe 2 or 3 months to enter into an agreement for maybe some paving. Other things, so we'll work on that. And then if you haven't been by Gervin, we've gotten some really nice playground upgrades at Gervin, completely done from Flybar to the border. That was part of our Edis and Gervin TIF reimbursement project. The park looks really good. We're also on the schedule for April to do our already bid out paving at Gervin. So we'll get all that going, then we'll start putting in the site amenities and knocking all that stuff out and stack looking in-house. So we're looking to hopefully have that project knocked out late spring, early summer.
Should we do, when they're finished, should we do a little
event? A big event.
Oh, should we do a big event?
There you go. Now we're talking.
All right.
We should do a ribbon cutting.
Yeah.
You know what? I was thinking like a block party.
Yeah.
What a great idea.
It'd be nice to get some feedback from the neighborhood.
Yeah, because they have a say in...
They're established. I mean, they're in it.
Yeah.
They're in it to win it, so I don't know why.
I think a block party is an awesome idea. I bet the foundation would buy the hot dog. Just saying. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. Well, Stephen, we've already heard of
it. I have a couple of additions. Number one, I wanted to, I know we talked about a couple months ago, which is the audit, our auditors at Schaefer & Pump. We talked about, you know, how we have, this is an option year. So this, their contract is a 3-year contract, and this is the first option year. They sent an engagement letter, which I gave to Trustee Metcalf for his signature. We'll have to have an audit committee meeting, of course. But I wanted to speak to it. I know I talked about how I felt they were right sized for us, which I still feel. But I also was remiss. I did not mention that. So we're locked in on fees, and there's an option here next year, too. The fees are going to go up. So I would recommend, and I know this is a little far in advance, but I'm telling you that I think that we should stick with this firm. We should ride this pony until it drops. Because when we have to go out and get a new contract,
right.
The price is going to go up by a lot.
Right.
And so we have this year, and then we have one more option year with them, and then we'll have to go out, right?
Right.
Somewhere. And that's what I would recommend. I think it's just a prudent thing to do. And there are probably 8 to 12 other firms in Springfield that are the same size as them and may not be quite the sweet spot, but there's a few of them that are.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be good. This is just my 2 cents on that item. I wanted to bring it to the board's attention.
They're a price-winning firm.
Yeah. Right. Of course,
I've heard great things.
And then, in addition to the HR staff report, I wanted to mention that Friday is Sean Dixon's last day with the district. He will have been here for 27 years, which is that's almost half.
He's
my
a baby.
It's almost half my life, and I can't imagine working anywhere for 27 years. I know my dad did it, my mom did it. I just can't imagine ever doing that in anybody's.
Why don't you have him come to the board meeting? Like to thank him personally. I mean, he's been an integral part of this organization through some thick and thin.
There will be a reception at the tennis center tomorrow.
Oh.
Between 11 and 2, yeah. Right?
Yep, 11 to 2.
I'll be there.
For Sean?
Yeah,
for Sean.
Could you send something out to remind the board?
We'd be happy to do that. We also have a really nice plaque that we made to commemorate Sean's service to the agency as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So good luck. Best of luck in his future endeavors, and he takes a lot of institutional knowledge.
Yes, he does. My guess is you know where to find him.
Yeah.
With that, anybody else? All right. So Chief, I'm so sorry, Chief. You're just sitting there smiling and so agreeable.
Waiting patiently.
He's not going to forget you.
Not ready to roll home, so. Just a couple of things beyond in your monthly board report packet. We got through our National Day of Hate, fortunately, without any incidents. There was a lot of packages.
Can you believe there is such a thing?
Planning on that. So a big public thank you to the police officers, the staff that event that day. No issues whatsoever. We welcome back Officer David Ferentz after a multi-year military deployment. He went through reorientation training recently. He's back on his own on solo patrol.
I didn't even recognize him. How are you?
It's been a long time.
We have all ages in those 2 years, but not just David Ferentz.
Officer Roby Irby, our newest hire for full-time, is now on solo patrol. He successfully completed the part-time to full-time transition. I'm excited to tell you that Officer Morrison, who was hired last year and is doing a phenomenal job as a full-time officer, but beyond that, this week he is attending a 40-hour certification course for basic crime scene technician. And I think that's going to give us the ability for the first time in a long time to, number one, work our own scenes absent anything that doesn't involve a crime of violence, and number two, hopefully be able to get and submit some darn fingerprints
on the car burglaries and some of the significant vandalism things that we occasionally have. Because quite frankly, there's just a lot of stuff goes on in town, and we kind of fall more towards the rear of the line with those requests when we have to request that service from another agency. Really spoke up about us being able to do that independently and hopefully improve our solve rate on some of those issues. Week after next, I will be attending the International Law Enforcement Educators and Trainers Association Conference in St. Louis, and I'm asked to make 3 presentations that week, or more specifically, 1 presentation given 3 different times during the course of the conference on rapid deployment and critical incident management specific to active shooter incidents. Had our governor's visit that went off without any issues, and I'm very proud of the guys that posted up low profile, but much before the governor's arrival, and got the neighborhood checked and cleared, and it goes right when nobody knows you're there, and nobody kind of knew you were there, so that's a good sign when it comes to executive security. We're wrapping up the holidays, or the hockey season right now, so I'm hoping I'm going to tell you in our April meeting that we went through both a hockey season and a baseball season this year, and we're out of single arrest. That's the first time in a long time that really just having 2 officers at those games, you know, win, lose, or draw, rain or shine, that helps out tremendously.
I thought you were going to say without a fight, no, that's not
No.
That hasn't happened. We just surpassed the 1,200 mark for total police service incidents for 2023. So our police service incident numbers are way up, and that encompasses everything that we do proactively and everything that we do reactively. Kind of illustrate that. For yesterday's date, 3/7/23, we had 34 total police service incidents in 24 hours. And then the last thing I wanted to touch on briefly, Stephen and I met with a recommended vendor for the video camera system on the last Thursday of October. The date is case is the 23rd, I believe. And we're as far along in that process as we can possibly be. And I think that what we're going to be coming up with is a really, really good system at the least expensive possible cost, which is still a small fortune. But it's a necessary evil and it's a legal requirement. So we're well, I dare say we're a little bit ahead of schedule.
It's in the budget.
On where we need to be.
It is in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll be getting a contract from them so we can begin the review process, which I think will take some time.
And that's all I have for you. Thank you for your continued support.
Thanks. And by the way, I've gotten just this week some great positive community feedback from you particularly, Chief, and your staff. Particularly at that day. But I just kudos to you. I mean, over the top compliments of your professionalism and how you handle things. So thanks. Much appreciated.
And Chief, you know, I've harped on this for over and over and over. Do we have, you know, I know you're keeping an eye out for a possibility of a surplus motorcycle or gator or something to increase our flexibility for accessibility to some of the more remote areas that we cover. So please continue to do that. Hopefully we've got enough discretionary funds in the budget that if you find something, we can pull the trigger, whether it be a motorcycle, whether it be a gator, whether it be electric transportation. I still firmly believe that we need to get one.
Okay. Well,
board meeting next week is at Lincoln Greens.
Oh,
just a reminder for everybody, not here, Bun.
Okay. Hopefully it'll be nice and all puddled and
done beforehand. You know, we completely remodeled out there. It's got audio visual, and there's a bar there.
I'm sorry?
At Lincoln Greens?
Yeah.
11 to 2 at the 10
o'clock. We've got a cocktail hour.
It's off to you. Up to the email.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Well, if I ever give you a beer after
this,
I'll
show up.
Why?
Because.